One reason, because the decisions that the government is going to have to make, whether it be the Chavista government or a governor of the opposition, whatever government takes necessary measures
in order to
correct the economic situation, they will need a consensus. They will pay a political price. And if you don't have a consensus, it will be politically infeasible for the government to carry out these measures, these difficult economic measures, as a way out of the crisis.
We have to leave it there. Steve Ellner, former professor and associate managing editor of the journal Latin American Perspectives. Thank you to Alejandro Velasco and Medea Benjamin. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
WHFR is having another benefit party, and you're invited. Join us Friday, February 8th at the Ghostlight in Hamtramck for our Motor City Gems party. Performing will be The Dirty News, Labor Day Weekend, and The Kenny Hill Group. The Kenny Hill Group, who's also featured on WHFR's indie rock compilation, Motor City Gems, an 11-song showcase on beautiful blue vinyl. In addition to the music, there will also be a 50-50 raffle and station giveaways, including a copy of Motor City Gems. So come out of the cold and join us for some great music and support WHFR and local independent artists. For more information, call us at 313-845-9676 or go to planetant.com and whfr.fm. The Ghostlight is located at 2314 Kniff in Hamtramck. That's WHFR's Indie Rock Party, Friday, February 8th at the Ghostlight. See you there.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Good afternoon and welcome to the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw is going to be with us in just a second. We've got a jam-packed show coming up for you today. Last week, obviously, we spent a lot of time talking about things going on here at Henry Ford College. We had a visit from President Russell Cavalhuna, and we also got to talk about other things going on at HFC as we enter 2019. Today, we're going to turn our focus a little bit outward and talk about things going on in the community from a business perspective, from a development perspective, and obviously what we're looking forward to being a great 2019. Susan McGraw is going to be up with us in just a moment talking with Kelly Vanden Bosch and Renee Aloy from the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, who held their Tale of Our Cities event last week on Tuesday, January 15th. They'll be talking about things that are going to be going on in the community over the course of the next year as far as the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce. And then we're going to take some time and listen to the two mayors, the mayor of Dearborn, the mayor of Dearborn Heights, speaking about what they envision for their community in the year ahead. We'll discuss that and have some analysis from WHFR's Ned Apigian. Also, Josh will be along with talking about sports on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. Do stick around. We're going to get things started with Susan McGraw and the ladies from the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce in just a moment.
Henry Ford College Theater collaborators are taking the show on the road. HFC adjunct theater instructor Jerry Zablinski is producing a two-hour modern dress production of Shakespeare's Hamlet, February 8th through 17th at Concordia University in Ann Arbor. The production is sponsored by the Kreft Arts Program in collaboration with the Experimental Performing Arts Association. The play's director, lighting designer, and six of the actors are all HFC alumni. Visit cuaa.edu/events. For more info.
This is the WHFR Journal, and welcome. Susan McGraw here, and I am joined by two of, I think, the busiest ladies in Dearborn, Kelly Vanden Bosch and Renee Aloy, joining me today, representing the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 75 years in 2019. And Kelly is the Director of Events and Media Relations. Renee is the Director of Membership Services. So really, in a nutshell, these ladies know how to get a big group of people together and have a party, and it's all for the cause of promoting this community. So gals, it's been a little while since we've talked. It's been a successful 2018. I think the turnover into the new year was wonderful. And what a year, 75 years celebrating. What's it feeling like? Is there a different kind of energy going on this time around?
There is. There's a different kind of vibe. In fact, we are celebrating with a gala, our 75th anniversary. The gala is planned for, not until September, but September 19th at the Henry Ford Museum. So it's black tie optional. It's going to be just a blast, a lot of fun, and we're very excited about it. Yes.
As you should be. I sense that there's always good energy with the chamber, of course, anyway, and that's what we see anytime we are covering any of the events going on. But certainly one that took place less than 2 weeks ago at this point, I think had to generate a lot of buzz, a lot of interest, and we're going to actually be listening to some of the actual footage from this event, and it was the Tale of Our Cities. This was the event with the mayor of Dearborn and the mayor of Dearborn Heights getting together to share their sort of state of the city, as well as take some questions from committed and interested parties in their own communities. So what was that like, and did it live up to the expectation that I know people that were attending had for it?
So, yes, the event was fantastic. In fact, I've been with the Chamber, this is going into my fourth year, and it was the most attended event that I've done for this actual event, for Tale of Our Cities. So we actually had to have the Dearborn Hills staff roll in a table for us to be able to feed the people that ended up at the door. But it was a fantastic experience. The mayors are very, very good friends outside of politics. So that makes it a lot of fun to kind of have them talk together. And they really are truly friends.
So when it comes to activities in both of these communities, boy, it just seems like it never stops. But I hear a lot of names that I recognize by way of restaurants and fitness facilities and so on. So that's very exciting. And then sort of partnering that with an opportunity to support people that have some special circumstances, special needs with Beaumont's mental health facility.
Absolutely.
Which I think is really sort of landmark for our community to be picking up on something like that. So many people in the health and wellness facilities talk about the fact that there's just not services available. When we talk about Kelly, all these different events and happenings and so on, we hear the announcements at the event that took place on the 15th, and understanding, though, that just because we have dates, this is the target date, it doesn't mean that these ideas just started. They've probably been in the works for some time, maybe even some years. The opportunity to announce them, I think, comes with a bit of a different air of excitement and fanfare. What would you say might have been, to your knowledge, maybe the most well-received of these different announcements, these different things that the mayors were talking about? Maybe got the biggest applause or the most support or the most questions even?
Sure. I would say that definitely the Beaumont mental health was very exciting to everyone that attended. But I think the most buzz came from the Wagner Place development, just because people are traveling along Michigan Avenue daily and seeing it being formed, right? So now they're excited to hear what's going in it, and that's just a big ball of excitement in itself. As far as Dearborn Heights, people were excited to hear about Warren Valley, just like you said. They were excited about that, and Mayor Pleco also mentioned that a Starbucks was being built in Dearborn Heights, and I can't remember where he said it was, but we got some claps for that. So, and me being I love Starbucks, so I was very excited to hear that as well. So that got some claps, but of course, you know, and right, yeah, but the Warren Valley got a lot of claps too. They were excited to hear that. In fact, we had someone raise their hand and say, "Okay, when Chamber are you going to have any events at Warren Valley?"
Oh,
and so
geez.
So people are excited to have the Chamber and obviously the community going there, being part of the excitement of that opening. So with Dearborn Heights. So those were the ones that I think got the most.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we move forward into spring, because it is around the corner, ladies. I know. We know that there's always an opportunity to connect with the Chamber and the Chamber Choice Awards coming up in March. And then we'll move into April and June, and it just keeps going. And, you know, soon enough, it's going to be that 75th gala in September. So do you want to highlight some of the special events that are coming up, kind of move us forward? And obviously, we don't need too many details because we're going to talk more about all these things as we get closer to them, of course, here on WHFR. But the Chamber Choice Awards at the Henry Hotel, want to talk about that?
Sure. So we do this every year. It's the Chamber Choice Awards and Expo. And what this is, it's kind of a three-part event. I'll just be real quick, but it's one part Expo. This year, we are having 2 hours of Expo time. Last year, it was just an hour. So we have over 80 businesses that are part of that Expo. And then right at noon, we go into lunch, and then we go right into our award ceremony. So we award Business Leaders of the Year, Businesses of the Year, with some fantastic videos and sit-down interviews with them. And then we also celebrate all of our milestone businesses. This is open to the public. Tickets are on sale right now. I would say this is a who's who of Dearborn business, and politicians attend, business leaders attend, as well as residents. So you can go to our chamber website, dearbornareachamber.org, and check that out on our website. But that is the next thing I'm working on, and I'm getting really excited about it. We only have 12 booths available left to sell, so it is selling out pretty quickly.
Yep, I was going to say, is there availability? So there is. And then in terms of being open to the public, do you purchase a ticket? Do you just pop it? How does that work?
Yep. So you can purchase that ticket online, and it's very simple. It's a drop down. You know, you go ahead and you pick your lunch, and it's very, very simple. But if you have any questions, we are always there. So from, 9 to 5. So our phone number is 313-584-6100. You can ask for myself, I'm Kelly, and I can lead you through the ticket buying process, or I can just take a credit card over the phone.
Yep. Moving into April, then one of the biggest is the 22nd annual Alberta Muirhead Teacher of the Year Students' Choice Awards. Oh my goodness gracious! It is, but what a nice opportunity to recognize people that don't often or always get the credit that they deserve. Tell us about that.
Sure. Absolutely. Our teachers are unsung heroes. They're with our children all day long. And this is a chance for a student at Dearborn Public Schools to nominate their favorite teacher. And that's why we put Students' Choice, so that you understand that it does come from the student's heart. And this is the event where we actually present 5 winning teachers with $1,000 cash prizes, as well as a beautiful afternoon of being thankful for those teachers. The nomination forms are going home with the Dearborn Public School students on February 11th. That's the date that we're going to send those out. And then they have about a month to go ahead and fill those out and get those back to us. But it is a fantastic event. My husband is a teacher in Dearborn Public Schools. I know what it takes to be a teacher, and they do love those kids like they're their own kids. So it's a fantastic event. I love doing this one.
Mm-hmm. And also in April, and this will be another interview with another organization, we have the, of course, April Arts Month and April Arts Awards and things. And so I know the Chamber very actively participates in so many of those events as well. So we'll save that one for another time, of course. But just briefly moving into June, July, and August, because we can't wait for it to get here. Taste of Dearborn, always a success. We have a date for that already?
Yes, we do. Yep. Please save the date. And actually, you can go online and register now if you want to. It is June the 19th. Thank you. June 19th, which is a Wednesday. Again, we will be, the tickets are on sale right now, so save the date for that. Another event coming up in summer, I'll just kind of go through this. Okay. July 12th, we have our fantastic golf outing at Lakes of Taylor Golf Course. And this is presented by DMC Sports Medicine. You can buy tickets for that too. This is open to the public, as well as Special All-Stars Day. I'll let Renee kind of hop on that because that's her event. And we also do the Cruise in Dearborn. And that's the first day of homecoming. So the Chamber is busy in the morning all the way into the evening celebrating that first day of the fun of Dearborn. So
yeah. Well, you know, if we do have a little bit of the winter blues, we can start thinking about these different events and even sort of stake our claim in buying a ticket for these events and registering and so on. So even though we have to wait for them a little while, it might be a little bit of a boost, right? Kind of what we need to keep the season fun. Renee, the Special All-Stars Day that we had have had now more than one occasion connected with the Dearborn Homecoming is just a wonderful, beautiful, fabulous event. I get to be a part of it by watching. My booth is right there, and we open early so we can be a part of it. What a wonderful opportunity that first Friday of August every year. So summarize a little bit of how last year went, just to sort of rekindle the excitement. And then and what are you thinking of for this time? And tell us where we might be able to help in the planning phase.
So we're definitely looking forward to another great, successful year for Special All-Stars Day. And it will be its eighth year, so we're super excited about that. The same as last year, what we did was we partnered with Wade Amusements, giving these special All-Stars free ride time and on these rides, so there's no crowds and it's easier for them to get through. We also were filled on the tennis courts with vendors and games and dance parties and face painting and all kinds of stuff for our wonderful businesses to participate in. So not only are they promoting their business to these wonderful parents and participants, but they are really truly giving them a day of fun, just like everybody else would like to have too. And of course, we have our vendors, our food vendors in the shelter. Little Caesar's Pizza is always our superstar sponsor and is always providing free pizza to the attendees, which in fact we have over 400 that come. So they are running pizza down from their store, keeping it piping hot for everyone. And we've had Yogurtopia come with their wonderful cookies. And of course, Saturn Market provided water. So we have a lot going on and it's all free. And we're looking forward to pulling this together again for its eighth year. Today, what I'm looking for is if anybody that is interested in actually volunteering or helping to create this new event, or excuse me, the eighth year for this event, if they want to help participate that way. I have a lot of spots coming up and available for our committee, so that's going to be taking place in the spring. So please feel free to contact Renee, myself, and I will get you on board.
Great. And I know it sounds like a fine-oiled machine, you know, but like you said, sort of new. Every year's got to be a little bit different. Every year's probably bigger. So it is sort of a new entity every time. And I know things look very different than they did several years ago with the process. It's grown. It's really become very unique. Yeah, exciting. So, new every time. Tell us a little bit about the actual Special All-Stars for those that aren't familiar with this project. Describe those that we consider all-stars, because everybody is probably listening thinking, well, gee, I want to go to that. I want to be a part of that. So, but this is a very unique opportunity for a special population.
Absolutely. This is designed for special needs children and adults, and they're all types of levels. Some might be having a hearing problem. Some might have a problem seeing. Some people might be in a wheelchair. But whatever it is, we have something for everybody. Even if you are in a wheelchair, we have the dance party for you too by being able to take a bubble wand and get it out there and dance and rock in your chair a little bit. You know, there's just something for everyone, and we encourage people that are not familiar with it to please do check our website, of course, for all that information, or contact Renee again. But that's exactly the audience that we're looking for.
And so typically some kind of pre-registration, at least so you have an idea of how many people might be coming and what the special needs or circumstances might be.
Yes, that is absolutely correct, Susan. It is a free event, but we do encourage our attendees to register so we can keep track of how many people are coming.
Fair enough, and it sounds like just a wonderful opportunity. As we celebrate 75 years of a chamber that's been around since 1944, here in 2019, what makes the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce so robust, so dynamic, and frankly, you know, one of the most successful, I would say, in this, not only in this part of the state, but probably this part of the country. And I know you ladies are very, very much a part of what makes it so successful. But tell us a little bit about the membership makeup, Renee, and who really is, who is the Chamber of Commerce?
So the Chamber of Commerce is a business organization that helps support businesses by plugging into the chamber so we can promote the businesses to our audience, which are business leaders and residents of our community. The nice thing about the Dearborn Area Chamber is we manage both Dearborn and Dearborn Heights City, so we are both chambers under one roof. And so anybody that gets involved with the chamber, they actually get more bang for their membership buck because they're getting two cities that they can, a nice footprint to reach out to. Of course, we encourage non-local businesses to join because that just makes sense to cross over and do more business with each other. But We really are an organization that provides business solutions to raise the success and level for our businesses so they can succeed continuously succeeding. And also the other thing that I love about our chamber is it provides the face-to-face connection that we may not always get using social media and things like that. This, we actually provide events to bring everybody into one group, shake hands, and form that relationship that we miss sometimes. So our organization really is great, and we actually look for people that are in home-based businesses all the way up to large corporations. We can manage something for everybody.
And then in terms of a membership commitment, when someone is contemplating joining, I know anytime somebody contemplates joining anything, they're like, I'm going to have to do this thing every week, and then I'm going to have to do that, and they're going to keep bugging me. And so, and I'm sure it can go from one side of the spectrum to the other in terms of how active and how involved a member wants to be, correct?
Absolutely. And currently, just so you know, we have 600 members that we manage. So to answer that question, anybody that's looking to do more than just pay their membership, they can let us know by, how can I sponsor something? How do I participate and get involved and volunteer on a committee? Even if you're a one-man show and you're doing your daily business at your office or wherever have you, we are still working for you outside and making sure that we're promoting you to our people that visit our office, and also promoting you on our Facebook page and things like that. So it doesn't mean you have to go to everything. We just ask that you meet us halfway and come to some of our stuff so people can see who you are and who's the face of your business actually is. So it's no major commitment. It's definitely just joining the chamber or letting us help you, but come to us if you're looking for something specific and we'll help you get it out there.
Makes perfect sense. Renee Alloy, Director of Membership Services. So you would know, and you've got those answers, which is good. And Kelly here as well. Kelly Vandenbosch, Director of Events and Media Relations. What a nice partnership for you two ladies. You seem to work together so well. And again, so much contributing to the success of the chamber. If somebody wants to reach out again, we got a contact information once, but share it again, both the email address and website, and then finally a phone number for contact.
Sure. So the phone number for the chamber is 313-584-6100. Please call. And our website is www.dearbornareachamber.org. When you're on there too, if you want to reach out to just one of us, go to the staff drop down and our emails are there. You can and shoot us an email. But we are here to support our community and our chamber members. And we are both Dearborn residents. Yes. So we love Dearborn for a lot of things, but we live here, we work here, and I have children in the district, so we really are excited for Dearborn. Yeah, we love it here.
Yeah, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I can very much tell, and I'm sure our listeners can too. Thank you so much for your time today, ladies. Always a pleasure to catch up with you and touch base on wonderful events coming up. We look forward to that. More on the 75th anniversary gala. Love a black tie optional event. Yes. Any reason to pull out a gown?
I bought my dress.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We are excited to continue to keep the relationship going with the Dearborn Area Chamber and WHFR Radio. So more to come as these other events get closer. We'll continue to share details. I'm Susan McGraw. Please stay with us. More on the way right here on the WHFR Journal.
Lifelong Dearborn resident and HFC alumni Gary Ciccarelli has illustrated everything from posters of Elvis to U.S. Treasury bonds to Disney posters to superhero trading cards, video games, toy boxes, board games, cereal boxes, Star Wars books, and many other products have featured his artwork. See his personal favorites now through March 15th in the McKenzie Fine Arts Center's Sisson Art Gallery, located here on the Henry Ford College campus. For more information, including gallery hours, please visit sisson.hfcc.edu. That's sisson.hfcc.edu.
Welcome back. It's the WHFR Journal here at 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks to Susan McGraw for that wonderful interview with Kelly Vandenbosch and Renee Alloy from the Dearborn Chamber. And one of the things that was talked about during the course of the interview was the event that took place in the middle of last week. It took place Tuesday, the 15th of January at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course. And it is the Tale of Our Cities event, and the focus for this first business builder of the year 2019 for the Dearborn Chamber talked about vibrant downtowns and growth of new business in both Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. And of course, the distinguished guests for the events were Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly and Dearborn Heights Mayor Dan Paletko, who gave some remarks at the luncheon and also fielded questions from people who were in the audience. And on this segment of the WHFR Journal, we're going to listen to those remarks as given, and as they said at the event, in alphabetical order, meaning Dearborn first and Dearborn Heights second, I guess. So we're going to start off with Mayor Jack O'Reilly's remarks that sort of kicked off the luncheon, or were part of the luncheon that day. And we'll listen to what he had to say at the luncheon, A Tale of Our Cities, the business luncheon hosted by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce.
It's you know, really great to be here, and it's really special to have the kind of support we get from our community here in Dearborn, and it's, you know, the big shows and the little shows, because it's a collective thing of what are we doing together to make this community much stronger, much better. And one of the examples is, you know, that the Wagner Place project, which is going forward, that is really something that's going to be a catalyst. It was Ford Motor Company's vision to do it, but we had to work with them and make sure that we could achieve all of the goals that they had to do that. And again, this is something really special for us, because they're redoing their entire campus separately, and that's a 10-year project that they're doing, and it's going to be amazing when it's done. It'll basically mean that they've refreshed and rebuilt everything in their inventory. But the Wagner Place was something a little special. They wanted to do something that would be unique, that would stand out, and that would be attractive to people coming to Dearborn. And so this is something we're really proud of. We've worked with them, and it's getting very close now. And it's going to give us a downtown, which is something we've wanted, a place that really does bring people there, gives them a reason to come. There's going to be all kinds of events and things that are going to go on. The road behind that property has been redone so that we can have a buffer come up and not let cars go through, so you can have events there and in safety, and it's really going to be something very special. So we're really happy about that. Beaumont, unfortunately, they already came and spoke. I was going to talk about the fact that they were going to deal with mental health, which has not been dealt with really very well at all. But not only are they going to do it, but they're going to do it in a really effective way. They're going to make sure that people are getting to where they need to be before they're released. And so when he was talking about that, it was about we're going to make sure that that there is a lot of room, that there is an opportunity, and it's going to be very important for us. And it stands alone, which is another thing. Because, you know, first thing when I talked to some of our residents, they said, well, you know, what's this going to mean to us? And I said, no, it's an independent building. It's going to have a really high level of care. And so that's really something very exciting. And then we've got the Fairlane Center. Again, that's one where they're about to change their... They came under new ownership, and so for what's happened now is that they used to just be for shopping, but now they also do building properties for people to come and live and so on. So we're talking with them, and we're looking at how to transform that property into something very special, and they are really ready to do that and work with us on this. And so I think this is going to be a great opportunity. The mall itself, obviously, is something that is not in the demand that it might have been, and certainly that it wasn't when I was growing up. But the opportunities there are viable, and the company that's in charge now is very much interested in doing that. We're always trying to also do things with regard to safety, health. We had a property in Dearborn that was in the industrial area, but it was very unsafe. We worked with the state, we got it cleaned up, we did everything, and now it's in a Class A, but we've been able to find an entity that's going to come in and run a business, and they'll have over 200 people working there initially, and it'll go up higher, and it's a complete transformation for that part of the property. The other things that are really significant, I think, is what we do with our boards. We have really an active group of people in our community who get engaged. And of course, the chamber is part of it, and so on. But our DDAs, downtown development authorities, and are really outstanding. And what's happened now, and it's very, very new, and it's not done very often at all that I'm aware of, is we've got them all working together so that even though they represent different areas, commercial areas of the city, they're now all working as one. We're doing a lot of things that are going to be really going to be dramatic as we go forward in terms of attracting more people to come to Dearborn, offering them a whole different view of what's available to them. And we've done a lot of studies, and the studies have been clear that the people who are here are satisfied. They like it, it's good for them. But when you go out further, people really don't have any clue about Dearborn. Some people responded to answer to their response was that they don't know it. They haven't been there. They don't have any idea why they would want to go there. And so we know that we've got an opportunity to go after that market. The market is not saying they have any reason not to come. They just don't have a reason to come. And so we're going to make sure that we do that. And the corridor development authorities, I don't know if everybody understands what that is, but in addition to the downtown development authorities, a few years back, the state allowed for places that are linear to be able to get that tax capture for run their programs. And so we created two of them, and it's really gone off really well. The Dix-Verner corridor is the last one now, and so we're really making sure that our business districts not only have what they need, but they have a voice and a say and money to back it up to make sure that we are going to get where we need to be in terms of drawing more and more people into this town, more and more people to come and become part of our city in any way, including one of the good news is that when we look at what's been happening with the trends with housing in Dearborn, our housing trends have shown that we've gone up substantially each year in the last 4 years, and that we're getting a diverse group and crowd, and we've had a lot, we have more owner-occupied properties and a lot less that are not owned by their owners. So we're really happy about some of these things that are going on, and I look forward to answering your questions. Thank you.
Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly speaking at the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce's Business Builder Luncheon, A Tale of Our Two Cities, which took place January 15th at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course here on the WHFR Journal. And for more information about the city of Dearborn heading into the year 2019, the mayor and his office have posted his report to the community, which is available on the city of Dearborn's website, cityofdearborn.org. The other speaker at the event was Daniel Poletko, the mayor of Dearborn Heights, who also gave some remarks before both mayors took a question and answer session after having their remarks. Poletko has been, a member of the Michigan House of Representatives. He also served on the Dearborn Heights City Council, and then obviously most recently as mayor of Dearborn Heights. He's retired from Ford Motor Company, where he was a financial manager. He's also a certified public accountant, which will explain the first section of his remarks, and holds degrees from the University of Michigan, University of Detroit, Wayne State University. He's also active in the community as a member of the American Legion, volunteers for income tax assistance, and he ushers at St. Linus Church in Dearborn Heights. So at this point, we'll welcome to the microphone for his remarks at the Tale of Our Cities event. Here's Dearborn Heights Mayor Daniel Poletko.
Good afternoon. First, I want to thank Jackie and all the members of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce for inviting me to share some time with all of you. I always look forward to this each and every year. Now, in the years past, I've had a practice of starting with some jokes. I've had jokes about the weather, federal government shutdowns, state government failures. And I feel that all good comedians need to have a sense of humor about themselves. So this year I'll be trying to address some CPA jokes. And I will tell you, my staff had difficulty coming up with CPA jokes. There just is not a lot of them. The one that I remember that my staff didn't find, but I'll share with you, and that is the one that, did you know that there are three kinds of CPAs? Those who can count and those who can't. So you can figure out which one I'm in, huh, right? But here's some my staff came up with, so we'll see how they did. You might be a CPA if you have no idea that Gap is also a clothing store. You might be a CPA if your idea of thrashing your hotel room is refusing to fill out the guest comment card. You might be a CPA if you are doing it now because you checked the file and found that you did the same thing last year. You might be a CPA if you decide to change your name to a symbol and you choose the double underline. You might be a CPA if you deduct X-lax as a moving expense. So that was my staff's attempt. Next year, we're going to do attorney jokes, I warn you. Mayor Riley is an attorney. Now, I've used my education skills to keep Dearborn Heights a thriving community, and I would say that to anyone who has an issue with a CPA that we're really not boring people, we just get excited over boring things. Now, it's always a pleasure to share some quality time each year with the members of the business community, and especially share some stage time with my good friend and my colleague, Mayor O'Reilly of Dearborn. Now, the past year, the city has again added to its fund balance an additional $2 million, where our revenues exceeded our expenditures. And under my leadership, our cost control efforts, diligent management from our staff, and the support of our business and residents continues to pay off. In December, Treasurer John Riley, Controller Linda Vance, and I were interviewed by S&P as we went through our rating, and both of us were really, well, all of us were very pleased that our rating was increased from an A to an A+. And as we move forward, we continue to ensure our residents and indeed our business community enjoy the same city services and programs they are accustomed to, while we continue to work diligently towards keeping our expenses as low as possible. Our fiscal future is indeed bright. As far as the city goes, we are expanding and expecting the old Canfield Ice Arena to soon come on as a sports training complex. Also, after almost 2 years of working hard on Warren Valley, we are now the official owners of the golf course. And I want to publicly thank two people that are in the room because it would not have been possible without all of their help. And that is my commissioner, Diane Webb, and also the chairman of the former chairman of the commission, Gary Warnchuk. And I've had the opportunity to serve with Gary on many occasions in different forums in the state legislature, locally. You're too good a man not to be in public service, so hopefully you get elected or appointed to something very shortly. As always, we're forward to, in the city to a busy construction season. We're going to spend $1,750,000 on roads. We will be replacing Annapolis from Monroe to Grinley. And we're also going to replace George Avenue from Fenton back to the City Hall by the library. And we're also doing a water line replacement program, which was started many years ago. We will be investing an additional $2,650,000 and be putting a new water main from Beach Daily to Inkster, and also Silvery Lane. We just have many projects that are going to go on dealing with water lines. And part of that's going to be contributed by the CD Community Development Block Grant Program. Now, those of you who have spent any amount of time in Dearborn Heights know our city is made up primarily of residential neighborhoods. With a unique blend of small to mid-sized retail outlets, private practices, service organizations, and a modest number of manufacturing facilities. This composition, I believe, makes us a rich, community-based entity by fostering a diverse, personalized, and robust selection of goods and services and job opportunities for our residents, which fosters the shared sense of community that is so vital to our environment. We value all our businesses and appreciate their involvement, which plays an important role in the continued fiscal and social well-being of our city. This year, I look forward to welcoming some new businesses, the Dearborn Fresh Market on Ford Road. We'll have a new two-story office and retail at Ford Road, the old Rex's. Starbucks will be putting in a new facility at Ford Road and John Daly, and that will have a drive-through. We'll have a new medical center at Telegraph and Richardson. That is the old Ponderosa. There'll be a new accounting office on Warren Avenue where the Mountain Jack's parking lot once was. Complete redesign of the gas station at Telegraph and Hats. And banquet centers, we'll have a new one on Ford Road where the old Trail Bar used to be. There's a new one that just opened on Warren and Telegraph. We have two multifamily projects on Ann Arbor Trail. One used to be known as the old Frenchie's Party Store. And the second will be off George west of the Blue Moon. Also, and I'm very pleased, through my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of people who are very successful in a multitude. And one of my good attorney friends had a client who was looking to create a new factory of gluten-free pizza dough. And so my friend called me up and said, "Mayor, do you have any location?" And I said, "You know, have him go see the old Parr's Ice Cream," which before that was Granger, over on Van Born. So the gentleman went over there and he loved it. So he has come in for his permits, and that is going to be a job creator and a significant manufacturer in Dearborn Heights. I also want to briefly mention that Dearborn Heights and Taylor are working together on the Van Born Corridor. And I certainly want to thank Mayor Sollers for all his help and assistance, but we are determined to make that corridor a fantastic, innovative commerce area. And so the two communities are working together, our TIFAs are working together, our planning commissions are working together, and both cities will probably put about $1.5 million of infrastructure per city per mile as we really look forward to some really great things happening on Van Born. Thank you, Mayor, for all your help and support on that project. Our city continues to face challenges ahead. However, I'm confident that together, the city administration, our employees, our residents, the business community, will continue to work together to address these challenges that affect us. As always, I accept with great humility the opportunity to have served as the mayor of the city of Dearborn Heights. I think it's a real honor. And I take this responsibility very seriously and will continue working towards my goal of doing the best job possible to maintain your trust in my performance as a mayor and continue to hold a high sense of pride in the city of Dearborn Heights. Thank you.
Dearborn Heights Mayor Daniel Pileko speaking last week at the Tale of Our Cities event. He was attended there along with Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly for this annual event, which took place at the Dearborn Hills Golf Club. We want to send a special thank you to Dearborn or City of Dearborn TV, CDTV, for providing us with the audio from the mayor's remarks at the event. And right now we want to welcome into the microphone, no stranger to the WHFR airwaves, he's a longtime volunteer and staff member here at WHFR, Ned Apigian, who is an architect, a planner, former Dearborn Heights council member. So obviously lots to say on, we talked a lot about architecture, planning, and infrastructure, and a lot of time talking about Dearborn Heights as well. So it looks like we've got the right person behind our microphone.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I hope my comments are useful. But the two mayors really listed all the things they're interested in, and hopefully I'll make comments on some of them.
All right, sounds good. Well, let's start with Dearborn. Jack O'Reilly spent a lot of time talking about Wagner Place, which, of course, has been, you know, in construction now for a long time and finally getting close to the end. And I think most people have a pretty good idea of what that is going to look like when it's completed. But also the element of having Ford Motor Company offices and workers in the area there, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure the average person realizes they're bringing several thousand employees to Michigan Avenue. Consequently, when you bring that many people, that's going to have an effect on all the other adjacent property owners, restaurants, lunch, shopping, and that's what they're hoping for.
He touched briefly on Fairlane and sort of under new ownership there and sort of redeveloping that, and that seems to be kind of a big, I suppose, a thing that's sitting out there in that, Fairlane, a mall built in the 1970s where malls were where you went when you wanted to go shopping. Brick and mortar, of course, giving way to, online retail and big box stores. Kind of a struggle there in trying to repurpose that place.
I'm always regarded as an excellent design facility. I remember bringing some Soviet architects in the 70s to see it, and they said, is this the last word? I think what's liable to happen is the facility's nice to me. Mm-hmm. It's a matter that the parking lots are just too big, even for Christmas Eve. Probably they're talking about developments on the edges with other smaller buildings is what I would think is possible. The facility itself needs to be full. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I think it's a wonderful facility. You have to change the image.
And you would envision that sort of on the inside of the Ring Road. I know there's a lot of stuff, on Southfield side and Evergreen.
Exactly. The inside of the Ring Road, you got it exactly right, where there's that vast barren parking lots where no one's parking, even on Christmas.
And something that the mayor did not mention in his remarks, but you mentioned came up in the question and answer period, yes, regarding the Edward Hotel, the old Hyatt Regency.
Yeah, the Hyatt Regency. Actually, it was a shock to me. I didn't realize its situation. That's a major problem and a major solution. You need to get that building operating with a major developer, or Marriott or something like that. It just, that thing cannot just sit empty, that's for sure. Being a hotel, you might be able to turn that into an office building. It's possible. Sure, interestingly enough, with the interior volume, open space. But definitely something has to be done about that. It just needs to be.
It's such a large, ominous facility.
Important.
To have it,
yeah, to have it empty. I was distressed when they took the train out to went to the shopping center, but there were too many people going.
I do remember that quite well when that mall opened.
That was great.
So switching gears to Dearborn Heights, I thought a lot of, and obviously exciting stuff in Dearborn, but Mayor Pileko had some great things to say and things that are good news now, but good news for the future, talking about the issue of the fund balance and bond rating.
The average person needs to understand the real good news of what the mayor talked about is going from an A to an A-plus bond rating. that makes a big difference when you're borrowing money and you want to fund important expenditures, even getting, it's just unbelievably how important that is. Watch your bond rating go down, then you watch the city go down.
Then you understand how valuable it is to have that high bond rating.
So you see how important that is. Our average listeners may not appreciate that, but that's extremely good news. The other good news is when the state of Michigan was on the economic issues of all the cities and putting in emergency managers, we didn't have that problem, but we were under a requirement that at that time, like most people were, but where our issue wasn't serious, the ability to put $2 million in our city's fund balance is a gigantic statement the mayor made. When I was on the council, the idea to have $4 million in your fund balance was a good thing. Our accountants told us it was better to have $8 million. Now, you're talking about a city that has a budget that varied from 40 to 45 million. That's about 10% at $4 million. So 20% at $8 million is a good thing. The ability to put $2 million into the fund balance is really good news for the city. The other important thing in Dearborn Heights, essentially a bedroom community with the limited industrial and even commercial.
And one that's still, that's pretty much built out in terms of, you know, there's not a heck of a lot of land available.
But the transformation of adding more commercial where the Dearborn Center is a big advantage. Now, whether it's Starbucks or something else or whatever store is moving in, changing those residential, that residential zoning, which was already commercial, and finding it developed is also a big, important feature.
And here we're talking about Ford Road, sort of between, yes, John Daly and Inkster.
Exactly. There is some commercial on it toward Inkster, but in that gap is very important. The other important thing is the fact that the city bought the golf course from the county for $1.8 million, and believe me,
and this was not a quick deal to make, is my understanding.
there was some concern that the county wanted to sell it, and who was going to buy it, a developer, and we picked it up for $1.8 million.
Wow.
And 52 acres, $1.8 million. And now that we have that facility, the Wayne County facility, the banquet hall, and just owning that property on Warren for a future location for a city hall and city facilities on that property is fantastic.
But probably a golf course and banquet center for,
yeah,
now. Yeah.
The golf course is, after all, now we're a city with a golf course.
Right. you mentioned retail and development. One other thing that the mayor touched on was working with the city of Taylor on that other end,
yeah,
of town, that other,
yeah,
border.
The other border.
And an incredibly important corridor. We,
that's,
forget,
right,
you know,
Van
Telegraph,
Born.
Van Born, and
right,
Ford Road are, you know, to a certain extent.
Yeah, they're major traffic arteries. Ford Road is the most important, but we're bounded by Warren as a development, which is a little slower, and then Van Born. Now, the great news is the money that both Taylor and the city of Dearborn Heights, with the help of Dearborn, are putting into trying to redevelop that quarter. Presently, there's a lot of used car lots. Not that used car lots are bad,
mm-hmm,
but the ability to center on that is important to both cities, although Taylor's a lot larger in area and a larger development for them on Telegraph, which we don't have.
And important to them, obviously, because of its proximity to I-94 and everything.
I think that covers everything. The mayor talked about spending $2.6 million on new water systems and roads, which is also good news.
Sort of centered in that area between,
yeah,
Telegraph,
I mean,
and Gully and Ford Road and Hass, I guess.
But the real important thing that was news to me was the ice arena transformation into something something else.
Right.
It's been a little bit of an eyesore, and we've been trying to rent it to people. So I'm anxious to see what's going to happen with that. And the other interesting thing to me was the comment of Mayor Riley in Dearborn. Of all the things Ford Motor's doing to refresh their facilities, the city is actively concerned that the people in the metropolitan Detroit area don't know that Dearborn exists and it's an important thing and a place to come to visit.
I think a lot of it comes down to getting those nighttime dollars, which, you know, obviously, you know, you go a decade ago, Royal Oak, and right. Now, of course, with downtown Detroit having its revitalization, the place to be at night. And, right. And maybe it's trying to, you know, stake a claim in there.
I guess he should be calling Dan Gilbert and say, if you got some more money, you could buy, spend it here.
Ned, it's been great talking with you. Thanks for your insight, and thanks for your work here at WHFR.
It's my great pleasure.
Excellent. Alan Mazurek. We'll be back with just a few more minutes of the WHFR Journal. Josh Hebert joins us next. We're going to talk some sports on today's program. Stay with us.
WHFR is having another benefit party, and you're invited. Join us Friday, February 8th at the Ghostlight in Hamtramck for our Motor City Gems party. Performing will be The Dirty News, Labor Day Weekend, and the Kenny Hill Group. The Kenny Hill Group, who's also featured on WHFR's indie rock compilation, Motor City Gems, an 11-song showcase on beautiful blue vinyl. In addition to the music, there will also be a 50-50 raffle and station giveaways, including a copy of Motor City Gems. So come out of the cold and join us for some great music and support WHFR and local independent artists. For more information, call us at 313-845-9676 or go to planetant.com and whfr.fm. The Ghostlight is located at 2314 Kniff in Hamtramck. That's WHFR's Indie Rock Party, Friday, February 8th at the Ghostlight. See you there.
Welcome back. It's the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks so much again to Susan McGraw and Ned Apigian for joining our show today. We're going to wrap things up by bringing in Josh Hebert, our sports reporter, who was with us last week, and we had an opportunity to talk with President Russ, who was supposed to be at the basketball game, but the basketball game this week ended up getting delayed by a day. They were supposed to play on Wednesday, if I remember correctly, but the campus ended up being closed. But the games were held yesterday evening, and you had a chance to attend, so tell us how that went.
Yeah, I was able to attend both games, and as you said, the tailgate or the honorary coaches with which President Rutsch is supposed to be a part of here coming up very shortly, those will be held on February 6th.
Oh, so they rescheduled those events entirely. They were not a part of the games yesterday.
Correct. And those will be the next home game, and the females tip off at 5:30 and the men tip off at 7:30.
And who are they going to be playing?
They're going to be playing Oakland Community College.
Oh, okay. So another biggie.
Yeah.
So how did things go yesterday? This was this Wayne County Community College?
It was
rescheduled. Okay.
And both games were great to go to, see the energy in the crowd. The women's team faltered on their game, losing 77-43.
Okay.
However, the girls' team has shown signs. They have progressed throughout the entire season, winning two games in their first year back.
That kind of flew under our radar a little bit last week. We mentioned it, but we were so eager to get to talking to President Calhoun on the segment. But yeah, this was over the Christmas break. They sort of cleared that hurdle and have had some success, which has got to feel good for Coach Burton.
It has to. I mean, being a first year program and only really having six players that they can go to. Three of their players are injured, so they aren't working with a full rotation.
And freshmen primarily, right?
All freshmen. I mean, you have to give it to them. They have shown positive signs. Maria Mitchell has led the team so far in scoring this year, averaging 24 points a game.
Oh, wow.
She had another great night last night, scoring another 23 points in the losing effort. but just the enthusiasm and the effort put out by the girls team here has been great.
Well, obviously we wish him the best of success the rest of this season. Yes. and building on the success they've had so far, hopefully still a few more wins to put in the column there, and obviously upward and onward to even bigger and better things next year. Now, how about how's the men's team do last night?
The men's team was the opposite. They have been 13-7 now after the win last night.
Oh, they did win. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
They went out and beat Wayne County 84-65. They had a few nice high-flying dunks in the game last night, had phenomenal leadership on the court and off the court from Coach Shepard, who we've had a chance to talk to in here. They have a freshman by the name of Leon Ayers, who leads the team in points at 15 per game. He had 21 last night. Just taking control of the game.
Putting on a show for the faithful that that came out to see them.
Yeah, and also, if you want to, later today we should have an interview I had with Leon up on the Mirror News website.
Oh, okay, very good.
From the post game last night.
And just for our listeners, the Mirror News website, our partner media, or sister media organization, partner media organization.
Partner media organization.
What is the website there?
That is just Mirror News. .hfcc.edu, I'm pretty sure.
And so the men's team sitting at 13-7. How many games left in the season? Are they starting to position for playoffs, I would assume?
They are starting to position themselves for playoffs. They're sitting behind Schoolcraft and St. Clair, who are two of their upcoming games. They are ahead of them in the standings. And then they're tied with Mott Community College.
Okay. And probably about half a dozen or seven games left before playoffs?
There's about five games left for the home schedule. They play all three of those. Mott coming up on February 9th. They play Schoolcraft February 20th and St. Clair on February 27th.
And those are the home games?
Those are most of them.
Okay, excellent. That sounds good. And, of course, games are held at the College Memorial Gym, Building H, here on the HFC campus here on Evergreen Road in Dearborn. Josh, thanks so much for joining us and giving us that update here on the WHFR Journal today. Anything else going on?
No, just baseball getting ready to kick off here very shortly. Along with softball, and golf will be starting back up here soon, too.
Well, we know where to turn to get information on all of that. Thanks for being with us on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Susan McGraw and I will be back next week to discuss events and activities going on in and around the WHFR listening area. As always, you can hear our programs rebroadcast on the WHFR website, which is whfr.fm. Let's see. Up next, we're going to have Kitty Love in here with Highway 61. She's going to be making waves just in a few moments here on WHFR.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Time. That's where my baby stays.